Oh, I just love it. This body of believers is so adequately staffed. I mean, you can just never pick a day and somebody's not doing something that's going to help somebody. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you. And thank each one of you for your wonderful, wonderful smiles when you're happy. When you frown, when you're down, that's why you need to be here. We all need to be here. We find that this continuation of this teaching has been about spiritual dryness and seven reasons that you know that you were in trouble, but along with the seven reasons, there's seven ways out. And I'm not much into numbers, it's just that's the way it came out. And I always noticed, it's like if you've got a door at home and the hinge squeaks and it doesn't work the way hinges should work on a door, what do? You get out the 3-in-1 oil. Well, we have a spiritual 3-in-1 oil, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when we don't seem to be functioning well, and we seem to be in trouble, and we seem to be getting a little bit dry, if you will, there's something good to be said about the way out of that. Not that anybody here has ever been there, so I'm probably making this for the people that will listen to the CD somewhere, but probably doesn't apply to any of us. Really? You'll know before long if it is. But I want to review the seven ways to combat it. In other words, something that you can get back to your joy, you can get that zeal back, you can get your walk back if you feel like you've strayed off the course a little bit. Last week, we took a little break from this because Bill and Ging did their Philippine missions presentation, but the week before that, I talked about breaking the blame cycle. It's always somebody else's fault. Like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil can't make you do anything that you don't really want to do already. He just takes what you've offered him and runs the gamut with it and takes advantage. Because if you want to do what God wants you to do more than what the devil wants you to do, the devil can't make you do what he wants you to do. And sometimes you just have to dig your heels in and say, whoa, dude, we ain't going there. I ain't doing that. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So we talked about blaming others instead of taking our own personal responsibility for our walk in the Lord. You know, this is a real breakthrough in marriages when the husband quits trying to tell his wife how to live her life for the Lord and the wife quits trying to tell her husband how to walk his walk in the Lord, and they come to realize that, guess what? Both of you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. His name's not going to be on your list and your name ain't going to be on his list, so just settle it right now. You're each in it for you. And God will deal with you personally. So if that don't break some ice there somewhere, it should, because each one of us will be held accountable. And if you don't have a husband or a wife yet, I don't know whether to pray for you or not. Maybe you should be like Paul and enjoy your freedom. And I'll say that lightly because I have the opportunity in 3 weeks to do a wedding where this particular couple has lived together for 28 years and now they're going to get married. And the Rick part of my flesh said, the very first day I met with them, why do you want to do that and mess up a good thing? But you know, that's what Rick wanted to say. But Rick didn't say that. I rejoiced with them because here you see the Spirit of God working. They came to make the right choice. Doesn't matter how many years it takes you to get there, but when you come to know what's right and you do it, God blesses that. Anyway, don't blame your wife for your walk. Don't blame your husband for yours, and certainly don't blame your children. All right, next one. Recognize your deepest need. By that, the deepest need is for the spirit man. If you live your life in the flesh, whatever feels good, whatever tastes good, whatever looks good, whatever sounds nice, you're so limiting the quality of life that Jesus Christ died to give you. He said that he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But if we live our life just in the natural, we're missing that spiritual element. And then when you get put on the spot and someone is trying to draw something spiritual out of you, say, well, I might show up, depending on how I feel. Well, that's like throwing a bucket down an empty well. A frog might jump in it. You know, but what God is after is the living water of the Word and the life of the Spirit that's down on the inside of you somewhere that got all clouded over. How do you get back to that? Recognizing your deepest need. Isaiah 44:3. We probably don't have that on the computer this morning because some of us are multitasking. You'll have to use your Bibles to find it. And I will give you ample opportunity to do that. Isaiah 44:3. It's just before Isaiah 44:4. Just to help you out a little bit. Isaiah 44:3.
Page 765.
No, you're close. He said, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring. Here's a couple blessings here. One for you, and one for all of your family, your children that come after you. But it says, I will pour water upon him that's thirsty. See, in order for us to gain any benefit from this is recognizing our deepest need. It's not the soulish realm, the mind. That's what our soul is, our mind, our will, our intellect, feelings, and emotions. It's not our flesh. That's just our earth suit. But it's about the spirit. Are you thirsty for the things of the spirit? Because otherwise, did you ever notice your lawn in the summer when it hasn't rained a long time and then it rains and the water just runs off because it doesn't soak in? See, sometimes when people go a long time and not do anything about their spirit, God can pour all of heaven's water on you and it just runs off. There needs to be a constant watering, if you will. Oh, did you cut your lawn today, Peggy?
I walked up the door this morning, and I stepped off the porch. I go, oh my God, the grass is taller than I am.
We don't think all that.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. We don't want to edit out all the fun parts of a good word today. This is a family home where we come together and break the word of God together, and I have no problem with that. It's just an example of a lawn. It's a good parable. The one who has the grass that tall, either you like the wildflowers or you don't like your lawnmower. I don't know which, but the spiritual application of that is quite the same. If we let the garden of our heart grow until it's wildly out of control, that shows neglect spiritually. And that's more important. And so these are designed to help us to get back on track. It only takes 3 weeks to form a new habit. If you miss church 3 weeks in a row, that's your new habit. then it gets harder and harder to come back because you fill up the time with other things. Not you personally, but in general, that's the way it is. Bible studies, I've noticed that that's why I only, even on such as I call it a vacation, I make sure that I don't miss two. No more than two, because I know that by the third one I'm going to like being home on Tuesdays and Wednesdays instead of being here. But as soon as I get here, oh my, the water really flows and we have an awesome time. So we don't want to neglect that part of us that's the most important. And one of the ways to keep the spirit man well is to stay in a good close relationship with the Lord. Because once we stray away, see, he never strays from us. It's we who stray from him. And so without that, it doesn't take long and you stop missing him. But he never stops missing you. I got a vision of similar to the prodigal son, where any one of us may walk or stray at a distance. And you know, the father's always looking down the road, waiting and watching. And he sees a little puff of dust on the horizon, and he starts getting excited. Is that my son? Is that my daughter? A little bit more, your head bops over the horizon. Yes! And he gets so excited that you come back, and you realize your source of life, your source of strength, your source of everything in you. God's heart gets excited about that. Just like you would. What if one of your children, those of you that have children, what if they ran away? Would you not go to the door and out the window and be looking every day, maybe even walk out in the street and see if maybe they might be coming from down the street or around the corner, and your heart is filled with hope every day that you just might see that person again? That's how God is with us. He just wants you to be with him. He wants you to be near him. This is the way back. You know, to the believer, you only have to go back to where you took the left turn. That's all. It's not like you got to undo your whole life again. Did that when you got saved. But when all you got to do is go back to where you took that turn away and come back. I need a break. There's a good excuse. You see, what are we doing? We're not recognizing our greater need. And what do I mean by that? I mean that I need a break. I work too many hours this week, and I'm tired. But I say to you, what would you do at home? You'd sit, right? So what do you need to do? Get in your car and sit all the way here. What do you do when you get here? You can sit the whole time you're here. And what do you do when you leave? You sit all the way home, and when you get home, you can sit some more. So what's the big deal? Don't give in to that. It's so easy to do. Stand in resistance. Stand up for something. Stand up for your walk with the Lord. I need help. Well, that's a good place to start. To some extent, that might be true. It depends on the amount of ministry you're involved with, and I speak to you as fellow ministers because I know that each of you has spiritual cares and responsibilities, maybe not necessarily completely actively involved in the ministries within our meeting house, but perhaps in your personal lives, things that you do personally, people that maybe you help take care of, driving people to doctor's appointments, making sure maybe you take somebody shopping, and your life is on the go, you can get tired doing that. You can get wore down doing that, and recognizing that you need some help, that's one way to realize that you're headed down a dangerous path, is to come to where you realize you need some help. Now, needing help might mean another person to come alongside of you and share with you the burdens that you have for a person. You just need to lighten the load a little bit. Oftentimes Christians can't say no. And you say yes to everything and everybody, and before you know it, you got yourself so booked up that you start losing your time with the Lord. You start losing your devotion time. And you get a phone call, oh, sorry, I'm praying right now. Call me back in 3 hours. I'm doing a Daniel fast today too, and so maybe you better not call me until tomorrow. And don't be so spiritual that you're no good to anybody. This is good stuff. It's all things that we think about, and at the time we're doing it, we don't realize really we're headed for trouble, because eventually, if we don't learn how to come out of these things, we head for disaster. We make shipwreck of our walk. I need a change of responsibilities. In my personal household, I hear that sometimes. And Faith told me that I could use this as an example today, because we talk. And she said, I've been teaching Sunday school for almost 25 years. Just once in a while, I'd like to do something different. 25 years she's been taking the kids downstairs. That's a long time. And so I can see why, now that she's down in Maryland, she's going to go to church with Jeremiah and Jeremiah and Felicia, and have a whoop-de-doo, blow the roof off the house celebration, and get herself refreshed, because you see, she knows where to go. She knows what to do. She knows how to navigate through responsibilities in ministry. I just go up to the lake sometimes. You can still call me, but I might be a half hour away. But I know where I go to just draw back. I don't stop. I never stop. But I know where to say no, and a lot of things I've said no to, so that I have the most important time for the things that are most important. Remember, we talked about the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And if you want to keep the main thing, then you have to build perimeters around your life. Don't just say yes to everything and everybody. This is really helpful. Because sometimes, I don't know why, we just seem to be wired as Christians that we have to say yes to everybody. And we don't. These needs may be genuine. Absolutely. We should make definite plans to meet them. But remember, the most important thing is we should never ignore the real underlying need. I need to reconnect with God and be refreshed in His Spirit. And I don't like to use the word refilled, only because I'm concerned that some of you would get the idea that the Holy Spirit comes and goes and He doesn't, and I don't want to give that implication with this teaching. I would say when we come back into His presence, there's refreshing available, okay? You can relate to that. But to say that He refills you, it's almost like, well, He left and now He's got to come back, and I don't want anyone to think that that's what I'm teaching. Stop deferring. Number three, you know what deferring is? Put off until tomorrow what I could have done today. I was planning on coming to church Sunday, but I heard that it was really going to be nice and sunny, and my neighbors are having a barbecue, and I haven't had any time to go do anything with them, and I just think, I'll go to church next week. Or I got invited to a Bible study and gosh, it's right at supper time. I just don't know how I could do that. Do you ever consider telling your belly to shut up? It eats when you decide to feed it? Uh-oh, he's getting rough now. Take authority.
The truth shall set you free.
This is true. A common response to spiritual dryness is to look beyond our present circumstances to some future time, all in God's time, and then we blame God by doing that, when we will have the space and opportunity to be refreshed. This is the I'm waiting for mindset. I'm waiting for what? Oh, I'm waiting for God to move in my life. Maybe God is waiting for you to move in your life. Imagine that. What a concept. I wrote down a note in a time of prayer many years ago. What is God doing in my life? And what am I doing with God's life in me? If I think that I'm just going to wait until some future time and God's going to do something, what about all the scriptures that clearly indicate what he's already done? And now he expects us by faith to walk out what he's already done, walk in what he's already done, and put ourselves in the receiving mode and say, Father, I thank you for what you already did. You gave me all things that pertain to life and godliness. So looking to a future to go to a watering hole, that's like crawling through the Sahara Desert and you passed up 19 oases along the way, and you know, and then you're dragging and the buzzards are flying over your head and they're beginning to fly down and peck you on the butt and say, no, he's not quite dead, but it's 49 miles to that next water hole. If we just circle around a little bit, we'll get him. You know, don't wait until you pass the last water hole. Don't put it off. You know, when you know that you're in a funk in the Lord, don't wait, because it doesn't get better by itself. And eventually, people get caught up and they don't even know how it happened. And I, sad to say, I deal with people that happens to a lot. Some you know, some you don't. And I'm never going to tell you any of them. So don't ask me. But this is a biggie. And it comes upon them over a period of time, and they're like, they don't even know how it happened. They don't know when it happened. They don't know where along the way it happened, but it happens. And so that's why this is important that we talk about these things, because we're all grown-ups and we all been there, done that, or maybe been close at times. Ah, yes. Here it is. I'm waiting for this busy season to be over. And then I'll have time to spend with God. When are you not busy? Do you get into conversations with people and you say, how you been? Oh, brother, I've been so busy. I'm so busy being busy that I just don't have any other time. I'm just so busy being busy. I'm a busy little bee for Jesus. Well, you know, that's nice. But even bees got to stop and rest their wings once in a while. They carry big loads of pollen, and it weighs them down. And they don't fly so good. Even Jesus took time away from his disciples. Can you imagine all the people that he didn't heal that day because he decided to go be alone with God? He said, they'll be there tomorrow. He said, and you'll always have the poor with you. Poor in spirit, poor in need, poor physically, poor financially. But you see, we're not ready to handle them if we're not freshly empowered by his presence. And so even Jesus showed the example of, even sometimes he took his disciples away and he taught them privately. Why? To get them out of the ministry for a day or two so they could come into his presence and forget about the multitudes and be refreshed. That's why whenever we get word of men's advances or women's advances, we never call them retreats, because Christians don't go backward, they go forward. We encourage you as much as possible to get away from your routine. Get out of your rut. I told you, the town where you can go if you like ruts. We have a town named after that. It's close by. Okay? So, but you can go to the mall up there, you know, to get out of the rut. Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing like a good mall ministry, ladies. I've seen it manifest great gladness of heart. Go to the mall. Go get your hair done. Go to the lake. Do something, but do something spiritual. Break away and do something spiritual for your sake. Because otherwise, people will draw on you and you don't have anything left to give them. Because you get dried out. So don't wait, because it's always busy. And guess what I discovered? We all make our own schedules. Oh boy, that's three in a row. Am I still good for another one? That's a revelation. We make our own schedules. I'm waiting for assistance from another person. Oh, I know I'm really busy, but I'll just get somebody else. I'll get somebody else to help me get through this. No, the somebody else needs to be the Lord in you. Because you see, they can't walk your walk, you can't walk theirs. And if you carry their burdens any further than the cross, then you carried them too far. I want to say that again. If you've carried someone else's burdens any further than the cross, then you carried them too far. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you 14 work days in a row without a day off. He didn't say that? What did he say? Give you what?
Rest.
What's rest? Is that a foreign word? Sometimes it is, isn't it? So you see, even though you love and you care about people and precious ones that God has put in your life, you can go beyond anything that God ever called you to do. And going beyond what God has called you to do is a very dangerous place. Why do you think he said that he would give you rest? Sometimes you might have a whole wheelbarrow full, but you know, you just, here it is, Lord. Because you know what? None of us can fix anybody. Oh, we try really hard. Most of our busyness is to try to fix somebody else. And then we realize, oh my gosh, I'm the one that needs fixing. And then what do? We got to come to the real fixer-upper. And the bad thing about waiting is oftentimes circumstances might stay the same for a very long period of time before there's a change. And so if we're waiting for when things change, all that time we're waiting, we're wasting. We're wasting away spiritually, waiting for a circumstance to change. Whereas if we would recognize our spiritual need right now, the circumstances would change because you'd be able to start speaking words about changing the circumstances. You'd be exercising your dominion authority that you have in Christ and begin to speak words of change. Instead of, it's been like that for 10 years. They ain't changing. And you call up somebody, man, I've been waiting for this guy to change for 40 years. And when he changes, then I'm going to go to church. What, when you bury him? Come on. Circumstances. And waiting for those to change. Why not let God change us so that that will produce the change in our circumstances? Amen. The person who spends all their time talking about their sickness and their disease, guess what? God can't do anything about it until you give it to him because you laid claim to it and he's not going to forcefully take it away from you. As long as you make a possession of it, my arthritis. Well, did Arthur give you the claim that you could claim him and make him your own? See, when we put a name on it and we get possessive with things in our circumstances, that doesn't give the Lord much of an opportunity to work in our lives. Why? Well, they're handling it. They're taking my place. So he sits there and just probably looking at Jesus over there at his right hand and says, what do you think, JC? give them another week? I'm just imagining. It's probably not true at all. But that's what happens when we wait. The more we wait for circumstances to change, the thing that really happens is we change, and not for the better. That's where people can go from dryness to downright burnout, where you don't care if you even see another Christian. And by then you're real ugly, and they don't want to hear you come into their house and say, "Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister." They just wish you wouldn't even be around, because they've come to that place where they're so drained that they don't want to hear anything that you have to say. And that's really sad. That's burnout. And that's the path that this process takes. So over the course of a few more Sundays, each one of these is going to help us to get back on track, be able to recognize some of these things early, and be able to do something about that. So what we'll do is we take action today. If you don't have a day, take an hour. If you don't have an hour, find a moment. 1 minute. Can you handle a minute? Take it. Because if you don't, somebody else will. Next week, we're going to talk about reconnecting. Reconnecting. It's like when you trip over the extension cord and the light goes out. What do you got to do? Plug it back in, right? Right, Phil? Isn't that the way it works? That's right. Unless you get really high tech and you do batteries. But what happens when your batteries run down, huh? Yeah. Anybody need prayer this morning?